You guys, I have a lot that's on my heart, and I do want to say right off the bat that I am, according to the definition that people give in this world, I'm pro-life. I'm for life. Not according to the way the world defines this next statement, though. I want to say this to you as well. I'm also pro-choice. I'm pro people choosing. Do you know who was first pro-choice? Not according to the world. Get that out of your mind for a second. Who was the first one to be pro-choice? God. He gives us free will, choice. Gosh, I mean, that's been hijacked by people. And even life has been hijacked by people. There's a lot of Christians that are super pro-life when it comes to a baby in a womb getting the chance to live. And hallelujah, and they should be. But many of us Christians kind of lose sight about how precious life is when they get older, when they get messier, when they get mean. And I don't just mean children, although everybody who's an adult started as a child. But it gets messy and it gets difficult when a child is unwanted, unplanned for, and then introduced to a family that really feels like they're drowning already, and now here's a baby. And so they get mistreated, they get put off. There's a cycle that just goes on and on. And we live in a culture and we live in a time where people don't have time for all the subtleties. They just want to be right. Or they want to be heard. Or they want to be understood. But they don't want to listen. They don't want to understand. They don't want to recognize that maybe they've been right in a wrong way, or maybe they're just not right. I am so caught up on how everybody views everything. And I don't know if you've spent any time on technology, social media, news outlets, all that this week. I mean, crazy? That's an understatement. I've heard people argue back and forth in ways that sound like my kids fighting over the last cookie. And making the case for their side. I need to tell you that I unashamedly believe that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe that he is God, and I believe that what his word says is what goes for me and for all of his people. But I live in a day and an age where Christians are saying, maybe the Bible was translated wrong. Maybe what we have isn't the Bible. Maybe what we have isn't God's word. It was written by people, after all, and they do that with a lot of different motivations. Generally, it's that they don't like what it says. It must mean something else. And I think we should be critical and mindful of God's word. We're talking this whole year about being rooted in God's word. And many of us are rooted insofar as it's comfortable for us. You know, Mark Twain, not necessarily known as a theologian, but he was a philosopher and a comedian and an author and all that kind of stuff. But he was pretty much agnostic, if not atheist. He said, it's not the things in the Bible that I don't understand that cause me fits. It's what I do understand that causes me fits. And so a lot of times we're just going to go ahead and leave this shut. I don't want to hear it. Don't bring up the Bible. But some people say don't bring up the Bible unless you're going to live the Bible. I think that's a good critique of our humanity, but a better critique of us as Christians. If we're not going to live it out, we probably shouldn't just proclaim it. What do we call that? Hypocrisy. Often we're called hypocrites as Christ followers, and we are hypocrites. Ironically, we're called hypocrites by hypocrites. We're called unloving by people who are unlovingly calling us. I mean, it goes on and on. And so we say, well, you said it first. I mean, we're back to the fight again over the cookies, right? Or worse. So I'm going to start with that. I'm going to come back to that multiple times. But I want to continue from here to say moms are a big deal to God. They're a big deal. And happy Mother's Day. Moms aren't a bigger deal than any other human beings. Little ones in the womb and big ones outside of the womb. But this is what happens generally in church. It certainly happens. I was in prison ministry for about 6 years. And moms got some props and dads really not much. And sometimes that's well deserved, right? But here's what happens in the church. We honor moms and we tell dads, try not to suck so much. God doesn't pick one over the other. He loves moms and dads. He loves babies. He loves adults. He loves prisoners. He loves murderers. He loves people that mow their lawn and trim it up just nice and make your property value stay or go. I mean, he loves everybody right where they're at. But friends, he will not leave you there unless you want to stay there. So, hopefully your mind and your eyes are going to be open today to God and his word and how amazing he is. Let's go to Genesis. You remember that book way back in the beginning? So happy Mother's Day. Let's go to Genesis 1, 27. When somebody finds it, will you stand? And I see that you're standing. You're ready to read that passage for us. And if you're online, go ahead. Just hook that up right there. If you're going to wake somebody up with it, you're waking them up with the word of God. Okay. You ready? And that, go for it, good and loud.
Thank you. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. He created him. Male and female, he created them.
Sweet. So God made moms, women, in his image. First step of knowing that moms are a big deal to God. He made them. He made them in his image, male and female. All right, we're going to go to the next book of the Bible. We're just going to go through 66 things really quick about how big moms are. Just kidding. But we are going to go to Exodus 20. You guys might remember in Exodus 20, we find something significant there. What is it? Ten Commandments. I think you might know where I'm going with this one, but I'd love to have a mom stand up and read Exodus 20:12 because you know you quoted it to your kids. So go ahead. Exodus 20:12. Okay, we got a mom in the back of the room. Go for it.
Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land, and that the Lord your God is giving you.
Woo! That the Lord your God has given you. Honor your father and your mother, that you can have a good long life. Paul tells us that that's the first commandment with a promise. And what's the promise? Long life. Some of us are funny, right? We think, yeah, you listen to me, you live. But it's so much more than that. It's like honor helps you live long. The land you're going into, you're going to need a mama and you're going to need a daddy. And so we're going to turn to Isaiah 66:13. So as you're turning to Isaiah, it's kind of a little past the middle of the Bible. The middle is the book of Psalms, effectively. We're going to Isaiah 66, verse 13. As you're turning there, I want you to say that moms are important to God. I want you to understand it, right? Because he made them, and he even said in his Ten Commandments, you got to honor moms. Some of you are like, I don't have a very honorable mother, or she wasn't very honorable. Okay, you're alive because somewhere inside of her, she decided that you were worth living, or whatever got her to that point. Part of my story is that I was born to two 18-year-olds. My mom, Glennis Day, gave birth to me shortly after she should have graduated high school. She didn't graduate high school. She was super pregnant and got married. And I'm really thankful because a lot of different decisions happened in my mom's life. To not bring children fully out of the womb was an option for her in 1970. But she let me live. And it was definitely a discussion that I may or may not be here. So super thankful that I'm here. I bet my wife is, and I'm sure my kids are for the most part. But this isn't Father's Day, so let's go. Isaiah 66:13. So again, God made moms in his image. And then we looked at that he wants them to be honored. And now Isaiah 66:13. Who's got that for me who can stand up and read it? If we want to stick with the mom theme, that would be cool, but we don't have to. Men, you can read too. All right, mama, look, and it's on the screen. I like it. See? Good.
As one whom his mother comforts, so I comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem.
Whew. Thank you, Mandy. He says that his comfort is like what? God the Father refers to his comfort like a mother's comfort. Seems to me like he actually honors moms pretty highly. Should not be a surprise to us, right? Go back to the first verse that Annette read. Made in God's image. This should not be a shock. That God's like a mother. Can I go ahead and flip that for you, though? Mothers are like God. And some of you are like, that's right. Believe that. Pastor spoke finally. There was a word. And then in Luke 13:34, this one is a little bit different, and you might have missed it. Some of you haven't because you're like, oh gosh, that's cool and visual, but what? Because I do think that God made mamas in his image. He says, honor them. And he says that my comfort is like a mother's, but this one is, it's a little different. Who's got Luke 13:34 for me and can read it out loud? Feel free. If you're a man, don't be afraid of this. Anybody? I mean, I love reading. I'll read to you. Stay awake. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. Not a great introduction for Jerusalem. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. And you were not willing. God refers to himself even like a mother hen. Now this is God, Jesus, right? God the Son, saying, I often wanted to gather you and protect you, but you weren't here for it. You didn't want it. Look, we've been talking a ton this whole year about this thread of God planting, man uprooting, God restoring, God regenerating, God giving life again. He's not done with that. He's still doing that. If you've been putting him off, you haven't received his comfort, his love, and all that, you can humbly submit yourself right now and receive that love. He wants to gather you and protect you like a mother hen protects her chicks. My friend is a wildfire fighter. Is that how you say that? Sure. He fights wildfires. He came upon a mama bird one time that was dead because she had been cooked. Underneath her were alive little chicks. She protected her babies. Mamas, thank you. That's a picture of God's love for us and how he loves us and wants to protect us. We're saying that this whole series on Psalm 139 is known. And this is just the first part of the message. I've got more for you. We are known by God, and he knows everything about us and loves us. He won't leave us where we're at unless that's what we want. I wanted to gather you, but you chose not to be gathered. But you, that means that you and I are invited to know God as well. Now, he's unknowable to the depths of who he is, but he made himself known. And he invites us. And so I want to ask you guys to fill in the blank for me. God is so what?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Good.
Loving. Incredible.
Loving. Incredible. Amen. Awesome. What'd you say, Kathy? I heard your voice. Oh, amen. You are too. Thank you very much. What else? He's so amazing. He's so caring. He's so kind. He's so aware. Somebody said awesome. He truly is awesome. A few more times I'm going to ask you about that God is so. So keep that in your mind. Let's go to Psalm 139. I'm going to go ahead and read the first 16 verses for you. The first 12 I'm going to get after and then take a little pause and get into 13 through 16. And then I have some really cool ways to live out knowing God and being known by God for you. So here we go. Psalm 139, 1 through 12. This is David. I think this is, in so many ways, kind of the crown jewel of the book of Psalms. There's a lot of really great things in Psalms. There's some real life moaning, complaining, lamenting, praising, singing, all kinds of cool things in the Psalms. Like real life stuff. And this is one of them. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You've examined me is what that means. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word's on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, which is the grave or the place of the dead, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, from east to west, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, I'm such a mess, I'm all messed up. I'm in the dark. And the light about me is even night. That's the best thing I have going for me is darkness. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Dear friend, you can't go anywhere where God isn't. The only place he won't be is at the end, he won't be in hell. Right now, he's not in hell, but before you actually go there, he's like, get into the light. I love you. I want to mother you. I want to father you. I want to bless you. I want you to know life. I want you to endure what's dark here because it's not dark to me. And I want you to spend forever with me because I know you and I know where you're at. And I know your thoughts before you think them. I know your words before you speak them. I'm right here with you. Come to me. I'm already here. Repentance, right? He even gives us that gift where we turn around to him, that we celebrate him. And I'm not saying so you can get saved over and over and over again. I am one of those weirdos that thinks once you're saved, you're always saved. But I don't believe that some of us have actually come to God. We've been playing footsies with him. We acknowledge him. Hey, God. We ask for his help, but worship him? Know that he's everywhere? Confess that he's the Lord? Believe in our heart that he died for us and that he rose from the dead? Follow him in a day and age where it's really hard to do so? Yeah, that's just too much. That's just religious. That's for paid Christian professionals. No, it's for his people. Again, we were hashing out how this whole thing was going to break down, and we had gotten already to verse 12 when we realized that verses 13 through 16 landed on Mother's Day. We're like, what dumb luck. Or what grace of God. We are dumb at times and we feel like we're lucky, but it's God's grace. I mean, you're breathing because he said so. And so listen to this. With all of what came out from a leaked memo and all of that is just more than I can understand. We've got, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a broken world. We've got a government that is jacked up. There's no government on the planet that isn't. Because it's run by people. That God has said, you get to be in charge. Back to the pro-choice thing. You get to choose what you're going to do with what I've given you. And all of us have fallen short of perfection. Some of us do a little bit better than others. But nobody is perfect. So check this out, verses 13 through 16. Again, happy Mother's Day. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. I want to stop on that one just for a second. People aren't made in the earth. We're made from the earth. This is metaphor, a picture, an illustration of being made in the dark, in the womb. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. I'm not going to lie, I struggle so much with how that translation unpacks that verse. This is the ESV. I like it. It's a word-for-word type translation. So is the NASB. Both of those read that passage, verse 16. I'll read it to you one more time in this, but I'm going to use a different voice, and maybe you can understand what it is. I'll start with the normal voice, for your eyes saw my unformed substance, and then I'll kick into a different voice, and maybe you can tell what I'm getting at here. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Straight up sounds like Yoda. I'm like, oh, gosh, yeah. I get it because I've read it a bunch of times and I had to reread it. But I was like, oh, man, help me understand this a little bit more. So the NIV 1984 came to my rescue. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God knows you. You know where he first saw you? He knew it before anybody ever was. He knew you. He knew you in your mama's womb. Listen to these words of what he did for us. Formed, knitted, made, woven, saw, written. How many days of your life were written before any of them came to be, according to the Bible? All of them, or just the ones that make more sense and give God more glory, apparently? All of them. Every single one of them. Look, I was 14 years old and 6 months when our first child was born. I and my wife, Kathy, were freshmen in high school. We made a lot of selfish, immature decisions. And one of the things that I was considering just for a moment was, we're not ready to be parents. But we were ready to have sex. But that was kind of lost on me. I was freaked out. And so abortion came to my mind just for a brief moment. Her mom and dad raised Catholic themselves, raised their kids Catholic, did not go to church a ton, but her mom does now, and her dad really, really started to a bunch and recognized that the Catholic Church was it and said a bunch of things for us to consider about the Catholic Church, and I considered them, and then I'm still a Protestant. But anyways, there was a sticker, and there still is a sticker, on her mom and dad's sliding glass door that had a picture of a baby in the womb, and it said, "Life is precious." I was looking through a phone book for abortion clinics. Knew in my heart of hearts that isn't what I wanted to do, but I was freaked out and scared. And I saw that sticker, and it saved our daughter's life. As far as I don't think Kathy would have ever let me talk her into that. You guys, when I talk about all of these things, this isn't just something I heard about. This isn't something I read about. These are things that I've lived. My own mother, and I praise God for her and for her freedom to share this with me, has had abortions. I have other family members that have, lots of friends that have. For decisions that go as simple and as stereotypical as just didn't want to have a baby, used it kind of as birth control, all the way to I didn't know what to do, this baby was a threat to my life or to my way of living, all these different things. There's post-abortive women and men sitting here right now. Now don't look around, who is it? I bring up all this to say, did God know all those days when people made those choices? Were those days written out? Does God know everything about you and love you yet? He does. So I'm going to take this moment to ask you to consider to fill in this blank again. God is so what? Gracious, all-knowing, what else? Merciful, forgiving. He's super generous. He redeems. Isaac Adams, a pastor in Alabama, lost his mom this year. He said, for those who long to be mothers, for those who long to be with their mothers, and I'll add to his quote, and those who long to be better mothers, the Lord sees you. He knows you. He loves you. And he loves your children. He's got plans for us that are just wild. He's got plans for children to live and to be cared for in the womb and outside of the womb. A guy that I've followed and listened to, and he's got a lot of different opinions than me, but his name, he goes by Prop. He's a Christian rapper, spoken word. He said one time, Black lives matter outside of the womb and inside of the womb. And he himself, a black man, said, all lives matter outside of the womb and inside of the womb. Christians, we've done a pretty good job of proclaiming life and that it begins according for us right now. We just read it It begins inside the womb at conception. David himself said, I was conceived in sin. His parents weren't in sin. They were sinners. He's like, my life began, and when it began, I was a sinner by nature that was handed down. He identifies at that point that life begins in the womb. For some of us, we're like, how can you say that a baby becomes a baby when it's wanted rather than when you think it should be a baby? How can you say that a baby isn't a baby until it's out of the womb after 28 days? And we're angry about that, and we should be. We should proclaim that life begins in the womb and that it's precious and valuable to God. And then we should be able to help with what happens when those babies are born and unwanted. Maybe they've got something what we would say is wrong with them, but physically there might be something that isn't perfect. But how much have you been blessed by lives that are different than yours? We have a son that was born to us in 2006 that was born with three fingers on his right hand. And that was it. It stopped right there. He's got half of a right hand, and his right arm's a little bit shorter, and his fingers were webbed together, and they just needed to have like a surgical procedure to separate them, and then to take some skin off of his tiny little hip and to fill in the gaps. And then we found out he had a heart problem, and he had a little heart procedure as a brand new kid, like he wasn't even a year old. Like, we've learned so much about God from Tobias Cole Day. You know, we named him Tobias Cole, not knowing any of this was a part of his story and now ours. Tobias means believing the Lord is good. We believed the Lord was good before he was conceived, before we knew him. We believe that he's good all these years later. He's 15 now. Cole means every, by the way. And then our last name, Day. So I got dad jokes, so I threw that all together for a believing the Lord is good every day. Every day. But some of the people who don't think that we should tell anybody what to do and we shouldn't have laws against abortion and all that would say, how do you even talk about how valuable life is when you don't seem to care about life outside of the womb if it is unacceptable to you or uncomfortable to you? And that's a really good question. You guys, I want to go more on that, but I'm going to end with Jeremiah 29:11 in context because we constantly use that as a really cool throw pillow thing or a t-shirt, or we put it up on the wall, or some of us try to, you know, cross-stitch something that says it. But there's way more to it than just having it around. There's a great reminder for it, and its context is really powerful. But all that to be said, value, care, grace, and gentleness has been really in short supply for people who would proclaim Jesus as king when it comes to lives that have been unwanted. The foster care system is overflowing. Many, many, many people are longing to adopt children, but it's ridiculously expensive to do so. And people get pretty picky. If you're going to spend that kind of money, you ought to get what you want. No. Maybe. Oh, there's a waiting list for that one? We'll come back. You guys, I haven't adopted any children. I have 11. We have 11 of our own. Great story there. Some of you know it, but I'll just say great story. God's awesome. But we have had people live with us who got kicked out of their homes because they were pregnant and wouldn't get an abortion. We have offered up to people who had said they would abort their child, say, we'll adopt that baby. It never worked out that way. And to this point, what I know of, only one of those children ended up being aborted. A couple of them were adopted, but most of them stayed with the mama. We have people right here, right now, that take care of children that aren't their biological children, whether they're the grandparents doing that, aunties and uncles, or foster care. Christians, let's step up. We have an opportunity to actually practice what we preach. But for some of you, you're like me, there's a lot going on in your life, and you're like, I'm not sure that I'm getting a person in my house in addition to all the people that I have in my house or all the things that I have in my house. We can barely take care of a dog. I don't think a baby's going to work. So if you want to make a difference, whether you're pro-life or pro-choice and those whatever thing, I think I would love to erase those and just say, hearing God's word and living it out and struggling with it, or you just don't care what God's word says, but you think people are important, then let's take care of the people that are already out of the womb. And for those of you who want to, we can help take care of those who are in the womb as well. Really amazing ministry called CareNet of Puget Sound. There used to be Pregnancy Resource Center. You maybe have heard of them. But it's a pregnancy and family service organization. They're unashamedly Christian, but they help everybody. They help with parenting classes, with budgeting, with getting resources for moms and dads who have kids that they weren't ready for or whatever. They have ultrasounds, and they help see these live, unformed substances that are known by God, that are actually people. Well, that's your opinion, Aaron. My opinion's based on Jesus. In this case, I want all my opinions to be based on him. I'm working on it. But we're going to do from today, Mother's Day, to Father's Day, we're going to do a fundraiser. And we're going to do it for CareNet. And we're asking you guys to take these baby bottles and fill them up with cash or coins, which is technically cash. You could probably write a check and put it in there too. John, can checks work still? Okay. So you guys bring them filled up, bring them back, take an empty one, fill that up, and let's just keep it going. Because it's going to make a difference for eternity for a lot of people. It's going to make a difference for today for a lot of people. Again, wherever you're at on this, they give counsel to people. Godly counsel, kind, compassionate counsel. John and I were meeting on Wednesday, and he's like, Aaron, I'm just seeing all of what's going on and hearing a lot of Christians, and they sound like noisy gongs, which if you've read 1 Corinthians 13 is not a compliment. He says, it's not very loving. Again, we had already had all this stuff in place, not knowing what was happening in our culture. Our culture has always been jacked up, but I mean, it like, here's a spotlight. What would you like to do with this? Ignore it. Not an option. So again, wherever you're at on this whole spectrum, we invite you to take care of lives. And if you're a Christian, to do it in the name of Jesus. If you're not, they're doing really good stuff, and they're doing it to help people. We'd love for you to be a part of that. So I'll have you come up afterwards, and you can grab one. Don't grab the one with money in it. You're like, here you go, fill this up. No, you didn't. A little momism for you. You go to hell for lying, same as you do for stealing. I was like, thank God I'm saved by Jesus. Whether you're for or against abortion, you can get behind caring for people right here and right now. All right. Let's finish with Jeremiah 29:11, and then, like I said, I want to give you a little bit of perspective on that. So while you're turning to Jeremiah 29, I'll let you know that Jeremiah is writing a letter from God to these exiles. They've been exiled to Babylon. They're not in their home country, not in their hometown. They're not able to eat what they like. They are feeling the heavy hand of God's discipline upon them. And he's like, look, 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 look. Where you're at right now in Babylon, pray for that city. Pray for the peace of that city, for the welfare of that city. Pray that things go well there. And by the way, plant some vineyards. You're going to be here for a minute. You know about vineyards, right? They take a while. He says, you're going to be here 70 days. Excuse me, years. 70 years. And then I'll bring you back, slowly but surely. Like, endure what's happening. Make the most out of it. Bloom where you're planted, fellas, ladies, children. And then we get this verse that we're really stoked about, and it's in this context. It's verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare or peace or prosperity, in other words. Not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. This is what I got for you, God says. For those of you who know me, you know that when I see the word for, I really like to say that it's there for a reason. Verse 10 also starts with for, but to keep us compact, I'm just going to go up to verse 10 and read through 14 for a little more context for verse 11 here. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. It's not always going to be difficult. It's not always going to be painful. I'm going to come and hang out with you. I'm going to take care of you, and I keep my promises. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. God is so faithful. He's so good. He's so caring. If I can say this for all of you that have good moms, he's so much better than your mama. And she's really cool. I know Jesus better because of my mom. I know Jesus better because of my wife, Kathy. If he made those two amazing people in his image, how awesome is he? Let's pray. God, there's a lot. I dumped the truck, and I get to do that again next hour, and so I pray that you would fill me back up to just spill it back out again. But I pray for my friends. Some are my sisters and my brothers, and some are trying to decide if you're worth it, which you are, but I know that they got to figure it out, and you've given them free will. You've given them choice. I pray for those of us who have chosen you that we would live like you and follow you and take you at your word and let you give us plans for a hope and for a future. That you would help us to remember that we, by your design, are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are masterpieces. And you are the master that made us. God, you made all of us, even those who don't recognize you. But like I'm praying, those of us who recognize you, would we live for you? Would we repent where we haven't, and would we let you come and rearrange things that need to be rearranged, make us available to be the kind of people that make a difference? God, for my friends who sit here today or are online listening that don't follow you, don't want you, are questioning whether anybody should tell anybody else what to do, and this is my body, my rights, and all those things that in so many ways have a lot of merit to them and that they need to understand that you are the one that gave them life. May they humble themselves, change their minds, not to sound like bigoted, angry people, but change their minds from being bigoted and angry against you and against your people, and they repent and come to you. Turn around and walk anew with you. God, all of our days were ordained by you and written in your book before they even happened. It's like it says earlier in Psalm 139, God, that is like too much for my brain to handle sometimes, but I'm here for that. I want you to show us. I'm desperately needing for you to show me over and over again how awesome you are and how good you are. God, I pray that my friends, all of us, would come to you and love you. Thanks for moms. Thanks for making them in your image. Thanks for making babies in your image too. In Jesus' name, amen.